Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Father, we praise and bless and thank you. You are the Lord and the King of glory. And Lord, we want to see you ruling and reigning in our lives and in the lives of this church, in the lives of your church throughout this nation and all over the world. We want to see your kingdom come and your will done on earth as in heaven. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to speak into our lives and what you're going to do in our hearts this morning, what you're even going to do in our bodies for the glory and honor of your name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. I'm on fire. Anybody else on fire?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, we were saying, I always like it when Karen's leading. She used to be my secretary and always very sensitive to what God was saying prophetically. She got you proclaiming, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. She didn't know this is what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. So this is you, your spirit, and this is your soul. Now, your spirit is where Christ has come to live, the deep innermost part of your being. Jesus said, it is from that deep innermost part of your being, from your spirit, that rivers of living water will flow out. Your soul, as most of you will well know, is your mind, your emotions, your will. This is your natural life. This is your spiritual, your supernatural life. Now, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, you cannot tell visually. You can't say it's over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. And it can also be translated among you. Well, if we are the body of God's people and the kingdom of God is within us, then the kingdom of God is going to be among us. And so I'm going to use my jacket to represent the kingdom being in you. And what we need to understand this morning is what that really means in practice day by day, because if we have the kingdom within us, there's a sense in which we have heaven within us. There was a song a few years ago that was very popular, Heaven is in My Heart. It was okay as a song. It wasn't a brilliant song. But the sentiment was there that actually heaven is not just a place of glory that you want to go to when you die, but the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus says the kingdom is within you, he's saying, in some sense, the kingdom of heaven is already within you. In fact, if we look at the whole teaching of Scripture, if a person does not receive the kingdom of heaven now in this life, then they will not be part of the kingdom of heaven eternally. This idea that everybody goes to heaven when they die is sadly not true. That's why we needed a Savior to come and save us from ourselves, to save us from a life separated from God, to restore us to unity with God and make it possible for us to belong to the kingdom. So Jesus said clearly, didn't he, that you can only see the kingdom, you can only be part of the kingdom if you're born again. And if you're born again, your old life, this life that was separated from God, has ended, and now you have a new life where you're made one with God. The kingdom of God is therefore within you. When you're born again, God puts the kingdom within you. Now, as Jesus made clear, the kingdom is not a place. The kingdom is the rule and the reign of God. So when you were born again, Christ came to live in you, and therefore his kingdom, because he is the king, came within you. So God established his rule and his reign in your life. Now, his idea, his purpose in doing that, is that he can exercise his rule and reign through you. so that that is going to make a difference to the world around you, to those that you have influence over. But of course, before the kingdom can actually work through your life to any meaning, in any meaningful way, he has to rule and reign over your natural life. Because the natural life is not always in line with your spiritual life. Jesus says, in your flesh, that's your natural life apart from God, there dwells nothing good. So, you know, you might think that your mind is a brilliant mind and your emotions are all together and you know the best purpose for your life, but Jesus just says, well, that's all rubbish. This is where the real life is. This is where the real power is. This is where the real brilliance is. Christ in you, the kingdom of God within you. So here, of course, you have the mind of Christ, and so he wants your natural mind to be influenced by the mind of Christ. Most people in the world use their minds to deny Christ rather than to surrender to him. That's the power of the mind, isn't it? Many people base their lives upon reason rather than upon faith in Jesus. And so the mind of Christ has to influence our natural minds. Now, those of you who've been Kingdom Faith for a long time know this well, because this is an essential part of our teaching, how the life of the Spirit needs to impact the soul, because it cannot pour out of our lives unless it does. Now, what I want you to focus on this morning is really what Christ has done for you, what he has imparted to you, so that the rule and reign of Christ in you, of the kingdom within you, of heaven within you, can impact your natural life in the way that God intends. Because the more that happens, the more fruit you will bear. The more of his life, the more of his love, the more of his power, the more of his healing grace will pour out of your life and touch the lives of other people. So we are in a spiritually healthy condition when this life is what is really governing us and is the inspiration, if you like, behind the decisions we make, the kind of things we say, and the actions that we take. According to the scripture, and I'm not going to just take you through a whole lot of scriptural verses, I'm just going to paraphrase for you because of the time we have, or the lack of time we have. So the scripture says some remarkable things about you in the spirit as the person you are here. First of all, it says you have already been made holy. To look at you, that's extraordinary, but nevertheless, I live by faith and not by sight, okay? So, I believe what God says about you, although the visual evidence is not always supremely encouraging. Now, what that means is a number of things. First of all, it means that Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Holy Son of God, has come to set up his temple within you, the Holy of Holies, the Lord, the Holy One, actually lives in you. Now, according to the scripture, that has made you holy. You will be well aware with your natural life and how unholy it often is, that your thinking is unholy, your emotions and desires are sometimes unholy, your will sometimes wants to do unholy things. That's why, of course, Jesus said, anyone who follows me must deny himself. This is your self-life, right? This is the life of Christ in you. This is your self-life. So he says, well, if you're going to follow me, you'll have to deny so often what your self-life wants to do and say and think in order that the life of my kingdom, the life of my spirit, the life of Christ in you can then influence you and flow out of you to the benefit of other people. Are you getting this? Okay, so he says you're holy. Now, that actually means not only that he's established his holy presence in your life, but you are set apart for God's purposes here on earth. Not just to go to the kingdom of heaven when you have finished your life on earth, but he has established his holy heavenly kingdom in your life now. Now that means that all the riches and resources of heaven are already given you in your spirit. That was worth a wow. You see, Paul says, doesn't he, when he's writing to the Ephesians, God has blessed you in Christ, not in your natural life, but he's blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing where? In heavenly places. So all the blessings of heaven, every blessing of heaven, God has already blessed you with. He doesn't say he will bless you with all those things when you die. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, what does it mean to bless? It means to make happy. If you bless the Lord, you make him happy. If God blesses you, he does whatever is necessary in your life to make you happy. I can see that some of you are in need of blessing this morning. So, God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places for your eternal happiness. You see, this is why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because you have the eternal happiness of God within you. Joy is actually happiness. Don't be afraid to call it happiness. You know, joy isn't something spiritual and happiness something worldly. He has actually blessed you with every blessing of eternal happiness. So what he wants is to transfer as much of that joy into your natural life now so that what you do is radiate joy. You see, in Jesus' life, what he had in the spirit was reflected perfectly in his soul life. So the scripture says it was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon him that raised him above his companions. So the thing that marked Jesus off more than anything else from other people was that he was more joyful than anyone else. Just as well he's, but you see, he wants you to be joyful. This is why the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Because you have the joy of heaven, you have the joy of Jesus, you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, every spiritual joy. Hallelujah. So, what God wants, of course, is for us to plunder what we have in the spirit so that it impacts the life of the soul. Because he died to save our souls, didn't he? So, what he wants to do is to get that life into this life, to be expressed in this life. Okay, so, this is pretty extraordinary already, isn't it? It was worth coming this morning just to hear what you've heard so far. That God has established his holy throne in your life. Your body is a temple of the presence of the holy God because He lives within you. He's given you all the riches and resources of his kingdom. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Pretty good so far, isn't it? Okay, gets even better, because now this is just as well I'm a man of faith and not walking by sight, because he then says in his word that he has made you perfect forever. My wife and I, we've now been married 51 years. As our anniversary yesterday, and I worked out, we've lived together now for 18,638 days. It's 639 days and counting. We're still going. That's unfortunately, we haven't slept together that many nights because I've had to spend so much of my life apart. But we have actually been married for that many days. And God has blessed every one of them. Hallelujah. I can't even remember why I mentioned that now, but anyway, it was... Oh, that's right. I'm often having to remind my wife that I've been made perfect forever because she's not always on the ball to recognize that. But, yeah. So, that perfection is in us because the perfect one is in us. And you see, if God has established his kingdom, there is nothing imperfect in the kingdom. You must never mistake the church for the kingdom. Some people do that. This church in Scripture has spots and wrinkles. That's because it's got people in it. But the kingdom, there's nothing imperfect in the kingdom. You remember Lucifer, he was the leader of the angelic choirs worshiping God. But as soon as he sinned, he and a third of the angels got thrown out of heaven. Why? Because you cannot have anything imperfect in heaven. So somehow the perfection of God is placed within us. And just as the holiness of God makes us holy, so the perfection of God makes us perfect. Sadly, that holiness is not always reflected here, and that perfection is certainly not always reflected here. But one thing about the Christian life that you will be very well aware of, it's much easier to be aware of other people's imperfections than your own. You know, there are some people that leave churches because of the imperfections of the other members without realizing that leaving in that way has made them more imperfect than those that they've just considered imperfect. Hello? Because, of course, we are called to love and forgive and be restored and all the rest. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. Okay, so everything that we could ever need, not just in this life, for all eternity, has already been given to us and imparted to us in the Spirit. This is why when the natural life dies, you won't die. Because that which is imparted to you, the holiness of God, the kingdom of God, the perfection of God, is eternal. So, you know, your physical death will just be a release into a greater expression of what God has already put within you. Then you will see him as he is, and you will be perfectly like him. You won't have a soul that is imperfect. The imperfect will give way to the perfect. The natural will give way to the eternal, the supernatural. And this is why your resurrection body will not have any imperfections about them, but will reflect that perfection, that holiness that Christ has within you. Now, this is all very nice. It's good theology. It's good doctrine because it's the word of God. But what concerns all of us is what is happening in our lives day by day, isn't it? We so often are looking to God and asking God to give to us, to bless us, to impart to us, to heal us, to do this, that, and the other. And we get frustrated sometimes when it seems that what God is, God isn't always quick to answer, or we don't always get what it is that we need. Do you ever feel like that? You're allowed to be honest. Now, you see, that's because we don't really understand the significance of what he has imparted to us. You see, let's say you needed healing. It might be emotional healing, might be physical healing, but something in your natural life. Well, you already have the answer within you. The answer isn't in heaven. The answer has been imparted to you. I knew a wonderful man of God. He was an Australian. Do you know an Australian can be wonderful men and women of God? I know it's amazing, especially after what happened in the rugby last week. Because, of course, I was routing for Scotland. People were laughing at me because I was supporting Scotland for the World Cup. And they should be playing today. But such is life at this level that you have to forgive and forgive and forgive. And not just live on your dreams. Anyway, some of you obviously aren't rugby fans. Now, here you see, you have the answer. You have the life. But this Australian man had a wonderful, wonderful ministry of healing in Sydney, Australia. And he wrote a great book, which was called Your Healing is Within You. And in this book, he was talking about, you see, all that Christ has given and imparted to you that you are able to draw upon by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. That so many people are looking to God to do something as if he's external, when all the time he is internal. He has come to live in you. He has imparted his life to you. He's imparted every spiritual blessing to you. He's imparted his holiness to you. He's imparted that perfection to you. And if there's something that needs healing, that's a form of imperfection, isn't it? So we want to lay hold of the perfection that is there within us to be imparted into our soul life. Are we getting this? So, you know, if I'm praying here about a need, it's not, oh God, are you up there listening? Are you aware of my need? Do you know how I feel? Is it that you want to meet this need? I mean, that's not the way to pray, you see. You can start. I mean, Jesus says you are to pray at all time with thanksgiving. Why? Because he says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it and it will be yours. And Paul says, pray at all times with thanksgiving. Because you see, whenever you pray, it's already yours. It's already yours. This is the whole point. It is already yours. You're not asking God to give you something that he doesn't want to give. Actually, you're not even asking him to give you something he hasn't already given. It's already yours. Now, the reason why this is so important is when Jesus was talking to the disciples about praying and God answering prayer, he says this at the Last Supper when he's been talking about, you know, he's the vine, they're the branches. He says, if you remain in me, if you continue to live in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. And there, where the Greek says, ask whatever you wish, it means, ask whatever you wish. It has been correctly translated. You can ask for whatever you want, whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Are you breathing? Yeah. Now, you might say, well, you know, Pastor Colin, I know that I'm seeking to live in Jesus, and I know Jesus lives in me, and I believe his word, and yet, There's all kinds of things I ask for and it doesn't happen. Well, now, what we need to understand, if we're going to understand this verse, is that there's two words in the Greek that are translated by our English word, word. One is logos, and John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the word, in the beginning was ho logos, the word. That's the unchangeable, eternal word of God. Where Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. They're the words of eternal truth. Hallelujah. The other word is chrema. And chrema means the spoken, declared word of God. That which he speaks and declares to us by the Spirit. Of course, those words that he speaks by the Spirit are always in line with the truth of the eternal word, the logos. But John, in his gospel, is very, very careful about when he uses the word logos and when he uses the word rhema. And here in this verse, he's using the word rhema. So what that means, if I read it again, if you remain in me and the words that I speak to you and declare to you by my Spirit remain in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be given you. You see, what that means is if we're going to pray and really see God answer us in the way that we want and that Jesus anticipates in that promise, and of course there are many other prayer promises that he gives that are similar to that, you will receive whatever you ask in faith, whatever you ask in prayer, if you believe. So, it is obviously very important that here we are listening to the Spirit. Because it's what he says to us that is going to inform our prayer. And this is why Jesus said to the disciples at the same time that he was making that promise, that the Holy Spirit would be the Spirit of truth, he would guide them into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit lives within you to guide you into the truth, even of what to pray, even to how to pray, even will give you the words to pray. Because, again, the scripture says, we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit within us teaches us what to pray. Amen? So, again, the scripture says, pray at all times in the Spirit. That doesn't mean you speak in tongues all the time when you pray, but you are listening to the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is informing you of what to pray. Now, if he's guiding you into all truth, listen to what Jesus said. The Spirit will take and declare to you what is mine or what is of me. In other words, what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to keep declaring to you, this is what you have. This is what I've done for you. This is what I've given you. This is yours. Don't keep asking me to give what I've already given. Because if you ask me to give you what I've already given, clearly you do not believe I've already given it. So you can't pray with faith if you ask me to give you what I've already given. So you see, the Holy Spirit is working within us to say, really, it's yours. You have it. You have my life. Now, draw upon it. Believe that and draw upon it by faith. And that's what God wants us to do every day of our lives. To draw upon all the riches and resources of his kingdom. Now, there's a very well-known parable. And in this parable, there are so many different lessons to learn. But there's just one part of the parable, the first part of the parable, that I want to focus on for a moment. It's the parable of what is normally called the prodigal son. That's not a very good title because really the parable is about the father and his two sons. and how the father deals with the two sons in different ways. But in the first part of the parable, the younger son comes to the father and asks for his inheritance. And the father gives it to him. Now that's what you need to hear this morning, see? Because here is your inheritance. Now, the scripture says you can only have an inheritance once the person who gives it dies. Right? I mean, if somebody's going to leave something to you in their will, you actually have to wait until they've kicked the bucket before you get it. Isn't that right? And being a good Christian, you're not praying for their imminent death so that you can get the inheritance. But the death has already taken place. See, the death of Jesus took place so that the inheritance is yours now. You don't have to wait for your physical death. And the death of the person you were has already taken place. You have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but now Christ lives in you. So you can lay hold of your inheritance now. And that's what will please God more than anything. The more faith you have to lay hold of your inheritance, the more pleased he is. You see, in that parable, the older son complained, didn't he, that you haven't even given me a goat that I could have a feast with my friends. Why not? He never asked for one. If he'd asked for a goat, surely the father would have given him a goat. If he asked for the if when the younger son asked for his whole inheritance, he gave the whole inheritance. Now, sadly, the younger son wasted the inheritance. How many Christians have this inheritance and they're wasting it, just like that young son? Not in the same way that he did in ungodly living, but if you have an inheritance and you don't use it, you're wasting it. Now, it's a bit like this. Supposing, it's a good supposition, this. Supposing somebody put £1 million in your bank account and you didn't know. Nobody told you. You didn't know it was there. Of course, with online banking now, you can get in there and see how much you've got and how much you owe and all the rest. But just imagine, somebody puts £1 million, you don't know it's there. If you don't know it's there, you're not going to use it. You could get a bank call, a phone call from the bank manager one day saying, you know, somebody put £1 million into your current account, and I'm just phoning you because you haven't done anything with it. It's not gaining any interest. You're not using it. And you'd have to say, well, I didn't know I had it. If I'd known I had it, then I'd have used it. In other words, that revelation from the bank manager means you can now use it. So this morning, I'm the bank manager. But of your spiritual bank. I'm saying you have 1 million blessings here. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, there must be at least 1 million of them. It says that they're all yours. They're in your spiritual bank account. And actually that spiritual bank account, that heavenly bank account, is in you. So by faith, you can draw on that which is within you. Of course, first and foremost, you have to believe that you have that inheritance. You see, the young son believed he had the inheritance. He believed that if he asked the father for it, he would give it to him. The older son was so full of self-righteousness and his own works, he didn't believe the father would give him even a goat. A lot of people like that, aren't there? So busy doing for God and trying to be the right kind of Christian. And all the time God says, look, the right kind of Christian is the one who depends upon me. Right. Who isn't trying to do stuff in his own strength, but who is drawing on the riches of the resources of my kingdom that I put within him. So, now you've received the revelation, you can use the inheritance. So long as you believe you have it. But if you don't believe you have it, then you actually disbelieve the revelation of Scripture, of what God says, of what Jesus says, and of what the other New Testament writers say. Hebrews is very, very strong about that which God has already imparted to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And of course, Paul is all the time talking about this. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places and so on. And this is why Paul says when he's writing to the Philippians, I want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Now, what does he mean? Jesus Christ took hold of my life and he gave me everything. I want to take hold of it. He says, I don't yet claim to have taken hold of all of it. But forgetting what lies ahead, I'm pressing forgetting what lies behind, I'm pressing for what lies ahead because I want to take hold of all of it. And the wonderful thing is, even that which we fail to take hold of in this life, when we die, we will be able to take hold of it eternally. But we need it now. See? And not just for ourselves. This is the point. See, the more of your life here that gets revealed here, the greater the blessing you can be to other people. See, I can bring you this revelation this morning, and I'm blessing a few hundred people, right? Because I believe I have this inheritance. And although, like Paul, I don't lay hold of it perfectly, I know that a lot of it has impacted my life now so that I can be a blessing to others. That's not me blessing them. It's Christ in me blessing them. It's the kingdom within me. Now, how do we lay hold of this? How do we lay hold of it effectively day by day in our lives? Well, the first thing that is important is to keep the soul submitted to the Spirit. Now, what that means, because it sounds a bit like jargon, doesn't it? What it means is you keep submitted to the Holy Spirit. Because it's the job of the Holy Spirit to take what is yours in the kingdom and to make it known to you here in the natural, day by day, in the daily circumstances of your life, when you pray. And not just when you're praying, of course, but when you're acting, when you're speaking, whatever. You can draw on these riches and resources. So, you know, you're in a situation where you don't know what to say. If somebody's confronting you with some problem or whatever, and you don't know what to say, you only have to say, Holy Spirit, just give me the words to say. And he will. If you believe that this is the inheritance that you have, God won't want you to be speechless or mindless or defeated by the situation. No, he'll give you the words to speak. If you don't know what to do, he'll show you what to do. Sometimes, you know, we get confused here because there's a number of options before us and we're not sure what decision to make. Well, that's very simple. The Holy Spirit will only give you faith for the right decision. He will never give you faith for the wrong decision. So, you know, when you're thinking, look, should I do this or this or this? You can stop and ask yourself, which of these options do I have faith for? Which am I convinced that if I take that decision, it will happen, it will work out? And of course, if you don't have faith for any of the options, probably none of the options is right. And you need to listen to what God is really saying. Hello? So, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Christ lives within you. The kingdom is within you. All these heavenly blessings are within you. That perfection is within you. God has established his holy throne within you to have practical impact every day. So he is saying, well, just believe this is what you have. Submit yourself to me and trust me to enable that which you have within you to be expressed through you. Now, how does Jesus put this? He says that there are those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not do as he says. And he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father by heaven, in heaven. So, you know, he says, you can have all the right sort of religious language here. You can even call me Lord, but I want to actually be Lord. So as you submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, what does that mean? It means your heart desire, your heart motivation is, Lord, reign in me. Reign in me, Lord. Reign in me today. Reign in these circumstances. And you see, if you are submitted to his rule, to his reign, he will then express that reign through you. And what does that look like in practice? You overcome. Whatever the situation, you overcome. This is why the scripture says that God always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Always. Always leading in triumph. Why? Because he rules and reigns over whatever difficulties, whatever problems arise, whatever opposition we have, whatever needs there are, he reigns over them. And you see, that, if you're submitted to his reign, that means you will reign over them. That he will lead you in his victorious procession. See, Jesus is heading up a procession of victorious people. You can't imagine Jesus heading up a procession of failures. Now you've just got to decide, are you in his procession or not? See, are you following Jesus or not? If you're following Jesus, you're in his victorious procession. So that means we've got to think victory. See, what is in the mind of Christ? Victory, reigning, overcoming. What is in our natural minds? Oh, God, help me. Or whatever. You know, often so many negative things. And so the Holy Spirit says, hey, 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 come on. Get your eyes off yourself. And get your eyes on Christ in you. Get your eyes on the truth. Lay hold of the truth. Now, I'm a simple guy, so I need simple ways of doing all this. So when I'm praying, one of the things I frequently do is I just sit in the presence of the Lord for a few minutes and just hear him saying, my life in you, Colin. I might repeat that a few times. My love in you. My power in you. My victory in you. My authority in you. My healing in you. You see, it's all in you. And if I begin the day, you know, here am I praying. I begin the day, my life in you. My love in you. My power in you. My wisdom in you. My authority in you. my healing in you. Sets you up for the day, you know. Sets you up for the day, because you realize, I'm not living today. Christ in me is living today. I'm not in charge today. Christ in me is in charge today. And you know, you get sort of closer to him like this. and it's sort of, my holiness in you. You can even, my perfection in you. Doesn't make you perfect. But my perfection in you. One I constantly need these days, as I have been married to my wife for 18,639 days. And I'm therefore getting older, is my strength within you. You know, because the Lord renews our strength, doesn't he? But I'm not going to sort of sit and pray, oh Lord, I need your strength. Oh Lord, I need your power. Oh Lord, I need your authority. Oh Lord, I need your healing. Oh Lord, I need this. Oh Lord, I need that. No, no, it's all there within me. And if I'm saying, oh, Lord, I need, he's saying, you don't believe what I've given you then, do you? You don't believe in your salvation. You don't believe that you're a co-heir with Christ. He doesn't say you will be a co-heir with Christ when you die. The scripture says you are a co-heir with Christ now. So you inherit now everything. What Karen was saying earlier, you know, about the pregnant ladies is true for all of us. Fear not. What is there to fear? If you have Christ in you, the kingdom within you, the one who rules and reigns within you, I mean, there's nothing to fear, is there? In the natural, you might be afraid. There's lots of situations where in the natural, I fear. That's my instinctive thing. I used to be a person of great fear when I was young. But it's great to know you have the one in whom there is no fear. And the thing that helped me is the Lord saying, look, Colin, if you believe I'm with you always, how can you be afraid? And of course, he's not only with me and with you, but he's in me and he's in you. So, is this helpful? What it means is you're going to have a great week, followed by a great month, followed by a great year, followed by the great rest of your life, followed by a great eternity. Because you're going to live in the good of what he's done and what he's given you. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to be still. We're not going to pray for long now, because this is a sermon, you see, that doesn't have any end. You complete the sermon yourself by going away and putting it into practice. But right as you're standing there now, just thank the Lord that Christ is in you. Usually when you thank people, you speak, you know. You don't just sort of stand dumb in front of them. You speak. So just speak to him. Don't have to speak so loud that everybody around you is listening to you, but just speak. Mouth those words. Thank you. But Christ is in me. Thank you, Lord. The kingdom is within me. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is mine, because your kingdom is within me. Thank you, Lord. I'm a co-heir with Christ. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to wait for you to give to me, because you have already given. all those riches, all those resources of the kingdom, they're mine. And thank you that by faith I can lay hold of them and believe that every day your kingdom is within me. Christ is within me. Your life is within me. Your love is within me. Your mercy is within me. Your grace is within me. Your authority is within me. Your power is within me. Your strength is within me. Your healing is within me. Your deliverance is within me. Your freedom is within me. Everything that you are and all that you have to give is mine to be expressed in my life. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. I thank you for that precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that He's the Spirit of truth. I thank you that He will guide me into all the truth. I thank you that He will remind me of everything that you have done, of everything that you have given, of everything that is mine. And I praise you, Lord. Just lift your hands now and take hold of whatever you need. Don't think, oh, I've got to go through a whole process of preparation. No. Take hold of it now. What is it? Just thank the Lord. You need healing. Thank Him that your healing is within you. And that healing is going to work through your life, through your soul, through your body. You're not waiting to be healed. The healing begins just as soon as you believe your healing is already within you. Because it's a sign of the kingdom. It's a sign of the presence of the kingdom. So thank you, Lord, that healing is within me. Thank you that that healing is going to be revealed in my life. It's going to be manifested in my life, in my body. Thank you that my body is going to catch up with what I believe in the Spirit. And as you keep confessing that day by day, sometimes the healing happens very quickly, sometimes it happens over a period of time, but that which God has imparted to you in the Spirit will work through your life, will work through your relationships, work through your soul life, work through your emotional life, work through your physical life. Hallelujah. And then will pour out of you to affect the circumstances around you. At work, at school, at college, in your neighborhood, in family, whatever. But that life will pour out of you as rivers of living water. Can we thank the Lord? Come on, let's thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. Now, just ask one thing of you as we finish. Write some orange cards, not just this morning, but next week, how the life has worked through you, healing or whatever else, to bless you and work through you to bless others. Be good to have a whole stack of them, yeah? To really hear what God is doing, because that encourages us. You know, we've started to have a weekly meeting on Mondays when... with the three congregations, Worthing, Crawley and Horsham. We have all the team and the students, and actually a few of the church members have been coming. It's at 12 o'clock at Roffey on Mondays. And we just share what God has done during the previous week. And there's always healings and miracles and salvations and all kinds of other things that are happening all the time and that we're probably unaware of. In all three of the venues where the church meets. And it's just so good, so encouraging to hear of what God is doing. Praise God. And sometimes there aren't even orange cards. And you think, oh, why wasn't there an orange card for that one? So, do use the orange cards. Yes? Oh, Father, we bless you. We praise and thank you. You are so good. You are so great. And your mercy endures forever. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.